This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Health News Digest on the Bigger Picture. BFM 89.9.
Hello and welcome back to the show. It's Health News Digest. I'm Tina Camilla. In the studio with me, Tishao Ik, and we're talking about transplant tales.
Yes.
We heard about the keeping the liver alive during an organ harvesting and transplantation. Now we're going to talk about the Frenchman who gets his third face in a new transplant.
Feels like frontier science here. We're talking about face transplants. This is 43-year-old. And excuse me if I mangle his name, Jerome Amon. He has recently undergone a second face transplant. This is why the French media are calling him the man with three faces. But there was a face he was born with. And then he had to undergo first transplant and followed by a second one. And I will explain why. Jerome suffers from neurofibromatosis type 1, which is a childhood disease. It causes severe disfiguring tumors on the face. And if you look at pictures of him before even the first transplant procedure, you will know how just why they use the word disfiguring. Just to give us a bit of background on what is neurofibromatosis or NF, we will track back to an interview that we did with Dr. Lee Moon Kin, consultant neurologist. Here she is talking about how this condition presents.
Probably we can summarize it as a condition of spots, freckles, and nodules or lumps. So this is a condition where, because the skin and the nerves develop from the same part of the layers of the embryo, they have common abnormalities. So on the skin, the markers are the café au lait spots. That's French for coffee with milk. So these are spots which are the color of light brown, like coffee with milk.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are the freckles, which occur in the armpits and the groin. And then the most unwanted portion is the nodules, which are composed of nerve tissue. Those are the neurofibromas. NF1, you have the spots, the freckles, and the neurofibromas. And unfortunately, internally, people may have growths in the central nervous system, in the brain, also in the nerve sheaths, and the nerves of the eye, the optic nerve. So when these nerves have growth, then it leads to complications and paralysis and defects of vision and other parts of our nervous system. They do grow very slowly. So most of them are benign tumors, but we have to expect 10% are malignant nerve tumors.
Okay, wait. You said earlier that it was severely disfiguring.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't sound like it.
Yeah. So I guess Dr. Lee is explaining perhaps the milder, moderate spectrum of the condition. She makes it sound, you know, she's talking about spots and nodules.
Freckles.
Freckles, which all of us have, don't we?
Yes.
Of course, she did mention a 10% for whom the growths will turn out to be malignant tumors. And I think in the case of Jerome, that's clearly what it was. If you look at the pictures of him before the first transplant procedure, the tumors had completely distorted the normal facial structure. It even looks like his bone structure was all, you know, off. It just looked like a child had used Play-Doh to put a face together. I mean, I can't imagine what it must have done for him. I mean, in terms of the functional structures, right? Breathing and eating. I'm sure
seeing.
All that. Yes, absolutely. His eyes were completely like... So I'm sure it really affected his ability to lead a normal life.
But this was his second face transplant. He did have the first one 8 years ago, and it was successful. But what happened?
He caught a common cold in 2015. He was prescribed antibiotics. Unfortunately, it was the antibiotics that was the culprit here. It was incompatible with the immunosuppressive drugs that you know, after you have a transplant, you have to be on immunosuppressive therapy long term. The antibiotics was incompatible with that and caused a rejection of the transplanted, well, the face, basically. And so it took a while. From 2015 until 2016, he started developing the first signs of rejection. And by November last year, his face started to suffer from necrosis. The tissue was dying and had to be removed. And so after his original surgeon, Dr. again, I think I may be mangling this, Laurent Lantieri, after he removed the transplanted face tissue, Jerome basically had no face. So he had to be in hospital for 2 months while they were looking for a compatible donor for the second transplant. He had no eyelids, no ears, no skin. He could not speak or eat. He had limited hearing. He could only express himself by turning his head slightly and writing a little on a pad.
It sounds like almost like a locked-in syndrome where you're alive, but you're pretty much non-functioning.
Yeah.
You're conscious of your surrounding, but you really do not react or interact with your surroundings.
And that's when I realized that we take our faces for granted. Yes. You think it's just aesthetic, something you that presents yourself to the world, but actually it's how you function right from the get-go. It's how you breathe, it's how you eat, it's how you see.
A lot of our sensory organs are up there on our
absolutely.
Face.
Yeah.
Yeah, the eyes, the nose, the ears, the mouth.
And I think that makes sense why surgeons were exploring this frontier of face transplants. And the first transplant was actually carried out in 2005, also in France, on a woman who had been bitten by her own dog. So her nose, lips, chin, and parts of her cheek were bitten off. I don't know if you remember this story.
She passed out not realizing her face was bitten off.
That's right. Yeah. And there's a little bit of like question as to why had she been, you know, passed out to the point that she didn't feel anything.
Yeah.
I think there was talk of its possibility she had tried to commit suicide by overdosing on pills.
Right.
I don't know. Perhaps her dog was actually trying to
resuscitate her. Sorry. Yeah, because I remember vividly one part of the story where after she woke up from her coma, she lit a cigarette and realized that she didn't have lips and she therefore couldn't hold the cigarettes between her lips. That was when she realized her face was bitten off. Because
so instead of pain?
Yeah, she had no pain perception at all. I think you know how sometimes that can happen, right?
Yes.
When you're in a highly traumatic...
Yeah, due to the shock, I think the body just...
Yes, and your adrenaline just cancels out the pain reception.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry for digressing, but let's come back to...
Yeah. So in the US, there have been a few face transplants as well. There was one also, a woman was mauled by her... an animal, but in this case, the animal in question was her friend's pet chimpanzee.
So I remember this one as well.
The lesson to be learned there is perhaps you shouldn't keep chimpanzees as pets. But, you know, overall, some 40 operations, face transplant operations, have been performed around the world. So let's hear from a transplant surgeon from Mayo Clinic, which has also done this groundbreaking procedure. They did their first face transplant procedure in 2016 on a man who had attempted to commit suicide by, shooting a rifle into his face. So let's hear from Dr. Samir Mardini, who was leading the team of doctors that carried out the procedure.
A face transplantation is a combination of so many other procedures that we do, including eyelid surgery, jaw surgery, facial nerve surgery, because we're bringing in all the functions of mouth closure, smiling, lower lid depression, using this technology of 3D modeling, printing, a virtual surgical planning is extremely beneficial. They would have cutting guides for us that we would clip on the bones. They would give us the exact location of the cut, the exact angle of the cut. So when we took the donor's face and put it on the recipient, it would fit perfectly.
That was interesting that, you know, they use 3D modeling. And I think that explains a lot to me about how you imagine it's just lifting up the face and putting it on the recipient, but it's not like that at all, right?
Yeah. So in Jerome's case, when he had to do his first transplant, well, first you have to remove your original face.
Yes. And in Jerome's case, it was really extensive. They even removed his eyelids and his tear duct system.
Right.
And they did a full face skin graft on him. His first donor was an older man, a 65-year-old donor. And literally his whole face, all his features were transformed. The only features of his own that he retained were his own eyes.
So he became a completely different individual.
Yes.
Well, not personality-wise, but at least...
Yeah, and that's something I'd like to talk about later. You say not personality-wise, but your face is so much linked to your perception of self,
yeah.
Isn't it?
I cannot imagine, you know, having a different face and
getting used to it. And if you think about it, his second transplant was actually a much younger man this time. He was a 22-year-old man who had been declared brain dead. And so he's had, I don't know, in a way, maybe he's adopted all these different personas. And so the second procedure was a tricky one. Doctors had to replace all of the blood in his body throughout a month-long procedure so that they could eliminate any problematic antibodies that had been developed from the previous treatments so as to reduce the chances of rejection as much as possible. The whole procedure lasted almost 24 hours and involved about 30 members of the surgical team. And like I mentioned earlier, Jerome had had his tear duct system removed in his first procedure. So after the second one, he actually has become the first person to be able to cry with someone else's tear ducts.
Oh, doesn't that make you tear up a little?
Yes. You know, I've been watching videos of Jerome speaking to the media after the procedure, and he seems really upbeat, very positive.
But isn't that what's necessary also?
I think so, yes.
Especially when you have some, like this has only been done less than 100 times ever. The recipients of these kind of high-risk procedures are often carefully selected.
Yes.
Because you want it to be as successful as possible. And a lot of the times it is also a mental battle.
Yes. There's a lot of compliance issues with taking the immunosuppressive therapy. You're going to be on those meds for life.
Yeah.
And you live with the knowledge that, like Jerome, in the first after the first surgery, you live with the knowledge that something could happen to trigger a sort of rejection. And there's also the possibility that the face transplant, even though it's successful, there's the question of how long it will last. Right. And Jerome's surgeon is saying that it may generally last about 10 to 15 years.
So he might need another one.
That's right.
In 10 to 15
That's
years.
That's right.
So he'll be the man with four faces.
Well, yeah. And you think about if you are that much older down the line, how is your body going to...
Right. Your recovery will not be as good.
That's right. There are a lot of ethical issues here. I mean, I'm wondering, do people know what they are getting themselves into? And I think maybe there's no answer here. It is not possible to really understand what you are signing up for and what are the long-term risks down the line, you know?
Yeah, and also, I don't know about... I mean, I guess I don't mind if, let's say, I... am a face transplant donor, I wouldn't mind, you know, my face moving about somewhere in Paris or whatever. I don't know what people I know or people who knew me by then, I'll be dead, what they would think with seeing me, but
your
not
face.
Me.
Yeah. How will your family members?
Yeah.
And assuming that in the case of Jerome in France, you don't actually need consent from the patient. So they just have to sort of seek unofficial approval from the family. And I suppose over there they're really open-minded about this, but I can't imagine it will be an easy decision for relatives to say, yes, you can take the face off my loved one.
And I don't know if this might be the case, but Also, depending on your own skull structure, the face might be contorted in different or distorted in a small way.
Yeah.
So it might be a resemblance of you, but not really.
Yeah, I don't think it's like your face being stuck on.
Yeah.
And they take out the parts that they need. And as Dr. Samir had mentioned, they use 3D modeling. So they then fit the different parts of the face to the bone structure of the recipient, you know. So it's not like Jerome is walking around with the exact face of his donor.
Yeah. And as the face heals and settles into that structure, that will take a long time.
Like, yes.
If you watch the videos of him post-surgery, there's poorer movements of facial structure.
It even still looks like it's as if like a full face Botox thing. He cannot move his facial muscles yet.
Mm. So as those connections start to form and with more, I guess, physiotherapy to work on
and speech therapy and all that,
eventually the face will fall into place.
Yeah. And align, shall we say it that
align,
way?
Align, yeah.
To me, but then again, we don't know what it's like to live with a condition like this. Either way, it's a congenital condition where you would do anything to have a sort of normal visage, you know, maybe. Or in cases of perhaps war injuries or similar incidents where, you know, you have become so disfigured that this is the last resort for you. That, you know, for me, like I said earlier, this question of your face and your identity is very closely tied in together. But then again, I'm coming from a different place.
But if you don't know who your donor is, and if you don't, if you avoid all spoilers about this donor, you won't be influenced by their life.
Yeah. And I think that's the ethical principle, right? That you should not, that's why they don't encourage recipients and donors to meet, for example. I think hats off to Jerome. He's been through a really tough time, you know, growing up with that condition, not to mention spending 2 months without a face. And now his recovery is going to be very long and arduous as well.
And he's the first person in the world to have had three faces.
Three faces, yeah. So
good for you, Jerome. And when we come back, we will talk about the boy who had a 5-organ transplant in a single operation. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.